This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to the Mother Wound Project podcast. I'm your host, Tandy. Today, we're diving into one of the most common questions I get from daughters. Was my mom just emotionally immature, or was she actually narcissistic? What's the difference? And here's the hard truth. Both can leave deep wounds. So in all honesty, it doesn't really matter what label you put on it. They both can leave deep wounds. And to be honest with you, I am not in the business of diagnosing anyone. But I do want to give you some tools to kind of understand. And why is this important? Why is it important for you to understand maybe the difference between the two? It's not about the label. The reality is it's about the choices that you are going to make going forward. That's the difference. Because when you understand that your mom is falling farther on the spectrum, closer to the narcissistic label, which of course we're not diagnosing anyone, but when you notice more of these traits in her, that is going to tell you that she is not going to change and that she is not capable of change and she will not be willing to change. And that may make things different for you. Whereas if she's way closer towards just being emotionally immature, that's someone that you can work with. You're going to have an easier time with relationship. And so that is why this is important, regardless of the label that we're putting on it. So the difference between the two in just a basic sense comes down to intent. So an emotionally immature mother may be self-centered. She may be emotionally reactive or unable to self-reflect, where a narcissistic mother, on the other hand, is going to use control. She's going to be obsessed with her image in relation to other people and how they perceive her. And she's going to use manipulation, and her intent is more malicious. And I hate to use that word because some of you may not see that it comes from more of a malicious intent. And again, it depends, because there's even a spectrum of narcissism as well. Like if you have someone clinically diagnosed as a narcissist, it's going to look different for everybody. You have covert narcissism. You have all these other labels that we can slap on people. So it's difficult to see. But you're going to find more of a manipulative, controlling intent going on that rather than emotionally immature mothers. They just don't have the tools to be able to hold space for your emotions because they really can't even hold space for their own. They are more likely to change. So with that being said, the covert narcissist kind of falls somewhere in the middle. They look selfless on the outside while still pulling the strings behind the scenes. They're a little bit more passive aggressive than overtly like critical of you. So we're going to go through all of this and help you understand how this all looks in real life. And I also want you to understand that personalities are different. People are different. This is going to look different with every person. And so you're just going to find kind of your own mom's signature within this. And with knowing that, that's how you learn to move forward in your specific relationship with your mother. So in this episode, I'm going to walk you through 5 of the most telling signs and how they show up in emotionally immature moms and how they slowly kind of escalate towards narcissism and what it means for you as her daughter. By the end, I hope that you will have more clarity about what you have lived through and why it has affected you so deeply. Understanding the difference, like I said, is not about labeling your mom. It's about validating your experience so that you can stop doubting yourself and doubting your experience or making excuses for her behavior. She's like, oh, she had a traumatic past. I know she's been through a lot of trauma. I understand that. But that is dismissing your experience. And that's not what we're here for. We're here to actually look at your experience, be honest, get real, get raw about it, because that's the only way that we're going to heal. So that's where healing starts. So let's get into number one. So we're going to go into her image. So how other people perceive her. So when we start with an emotionally immature person, we're looking at, they're very concerned with how other people perceive them. And this, most of us are, right? So this is not necessarily a bad thing. So we go from just your normal, like, of course, we all want to be perceived well, all the way to someone who is so obsessed with their image. It is, they will literally go to any lengths to protect that image, okay? This is one of the clearest signs of emotionally immature or, you know, narcissistic mothers, is how much weight she puts on her image, how other people perceive her. So let's look at more of an emotionally immature situation. She's not necessarily flashy. She's not necessarily overly obsessed about it, but she is deeply preoccupied with appearances and what the family looks like to outsiders. She'll avoid embarrassment at all costs. She doesn't want any flaws to be seen. So she wants you all to maybe behave in church properly, everybody be dressed in their Sunday best and their perfectly done hair, and everybody just looks very perfect, and she looks like the perfect mom, this kind of facade that she's putting on. So this isn't just, I'm concerned, I want to look well. It's very, very preoccupied with how she is perceived. She will downplay or deny issues because we aren't going to air our dirty laundry or whatever. And of course, there are things that are private. So again, this is something that you kind of have to look at. Is this on a normal spectrum, or are we getting into a place where we're getting too preoccupied? We are denying reality because we're so preoccupied with how we appear to other people. So she doesn't want people to think that, you know, they argue or that anything is out of place or out of order. She will also do things only when it benefits her self-image. This is another thing that you'll see. So for example, she's going to take a meal to someone who just had surgery from her church congregation. She is going to volunteer in the community in some way, in her church or in the community, because it is seen. It is like, look at me, look how benevolent I am. I'm going to volunteer at a soup kitchen. I'm going to volunteer at these things. She's very preoccupied. It isn't about being a good person. Do you see how this is starting to get into unhealthy territory, where it's not about being a good person? I care about people. I want to help people. It's like, no, I need to be seen as, you know, I'm very righteous. I'm very giving. I'm this good person. It's about the way other people perceive her more than it is about the people that she's serving. So when it starts getting into that territory, you see how this starts getting unhealthy. Does that make sense? So her concern is less about solving problems, less about being of service to other people, and more about maintaining the illusion that she is very righteous if she's a religious person, or that she's very giving and she's very service oriented and the family dynamic is just happy and everything is great and everything is perfectly fine and everybody looks perfect and everyone is making her look good and everyone is making the choices that she likes, and so we all just look great. Okay, that would be more on an emotionally immature level. Then we move into a little bit more into the early kind of narcissistic stuff, maybe covert, if you want to call it that. And she's going to take this further than that. Instead of just trying to avoid embarrassment, instead of just getting a little bit too concerned about her image, so she's only doing things to control how people perceive her, this gets into, she's building her sense of worth on moral superiority. So we're starting to get into this grandiosity thing here, where she has this moral superiority complex. She becomes, quote, the good Christian mom or the selfless martyr. She is, again, she still is going to do service for other people only because it's going to make her look good. But she's also this martyr of, she sacrifices everything and she's so giving and she virtue signals. This getting into that virtue signaling, she's going to start fishing for admiration. Okay, so this is where we start. She wants to get admiration for what she, this facade that she's created of herself being so good and selfless and giving. But she only gives when it's going to benefit this image. So if you need something, a child needs something, she's not going to do anything. If you were the one that had the baby or you were the one that needed something, had surgery, she's not going to bring you a meal because that's expected. That doesn't do anything for her. It's when she can be seen doing it. So this mother is going to be a lot more neglectful and a lot more obsessed. She's going to, it's more like, you know, grandiose moral support superiority that you're getting. She's also maybe going to post on social media about how much she prays for her children or how much she's endured to care for her children. She makes this martyr situation going on, right? Privately, she uses those sacrifices to guilt you. So look at how much I've done for you. How dare you not respect me? I'm your mother. I have sacrificed everything. You know, I've provided so much for you, this kind of stuff. This is where we're kind of moving deeper into the spectrum where she's starting to weaponize basic mothering against you to demand respect, to demand that you make choices that she likes or whatever. You know, after everything I gave up for you, this is how you repay me. This is how you treat me, that kind of thing. Okay. So you start to see a little bit more weaponizing things against you. You start to see a little more moral superiority, a little more grandiosity, that kind of thing going on. And then we're going to move a little bit more down the line into more of an overt situation. This is where it tips into obsession and outright grandiosity. They are status hungry. Like it, this is everything. They need to be admired. And their children exist as reflections of them. And so the choices that you make, the clothing that you wear, the people that you date, everything that you do is a reflection of her and reflects on her image. So if you're making choices she doesn't like, dating someone she doesn't like, this, there's consequences to this. Okay. At school, events, graduations, weddings, she has to be the center of attention. Now, again, you could get this with an emotionally immature mom that likes to be the center of attention, but you're going to see the intent is different. It's not so grandiose. It's not so demanding of like admiration and this kind of thing. Okay. Your accomplishments are rebranded as her triumph. So, you know, you only got there because of me, instead of congratulating you. Or she'll just downplay your accomplishments altogether. You walk across the stage at graduation, she's going to hijack the moment. Okay? She's, anything that you are doing needs to be about her. She needs the admiration because of your graduation. She needs the admiration for the things that you accomplish, or she's just going to dismiss it. So this, why this matters, and there's going to be a spectrum of this, right? This is, I'm just giving you some examples, but you're going to see some of this and be like, you know, and you may even think of your own examples of things that your own mom does, because I can't give every example, right? But why this matters is that when image outranks connection, your reality gets erased. That is why this is important. Your struggles are dismissed. Your needs are minimized. Your success is rebranded as hers, or it's dismissed. Well, your cousin got a better job than you, or I did better at that than you did, or she's going to dismiss, right? So these are kind of the experiences where it's not just annoying, it's completely invalidating of you. It teaches you from a young age that how things look to outsiders matters more than how things feel. And when love is tied to performance or presentation, how you present yourself to the world, how, you know, the outward appearance of everything, you learn to shrink your truth so that you can shine for her and for her image. And this is where you can get lost in all of her grandiosity and all of her needs for admiration. The grandiosity and admiration needs are core features of narcissistic personality traits. So the emotional immaturity looks lighter on the surface, okay? It's not so grandiose. It's not so demanding of admiration. But I do want you to understand that it doesn't mean that it doesn't have an impact on you as a child or even as you grow up. You are still, with an emotionally immature mom, unseen, unheard, and turned into a prop for her. It's just not in the same, to the same degree, okay? Then let's look at number two, which is empathy and accountability. So we're going to look at her ability to feel empathy, her ability to take accountability for what she has done. When we start out on the very low end of the spectrum, we're going to look at it's inconsistent. So an emotionally immature mom struggles with empathy, where we go all the way to the other end of the spectrum where it's just absent. It's not even there. So one of the biggest signs of emotional immaturity and a core feature also of narcissism is how your mother responds when she hurts you. When you say, "Mom, that really hurt me. You know, I felt bad when you didn't show up when I was sick," or "this thing that you said hurt me," however that comes up, okay? Emotionally immature mom, it might look like she has empathy sometimes. It's inconsistent. It's kind of awkward. She struggles with holding space for your emotions. So if you're crying, she might try to offer you comfort, but it's kind of awkward and it doesn't feel like natural. If you confront her, she may say she's sorry, but it might be, "I'm sorry you feel that way." She's going to shift so that she doesn't take full accountability. But the problem with this is that there's no repair. She avoids self-reflection. She avoids introspection. She wants the conflict over quickly. She doesn't like dealing with the emotions. She doesn't want to dive into what happened. She doesn't want to reflect on herself or any mistake that she might have made. And so the reality is, even though this is not as difficult to deal with, you still feel unseen and unheard, and there's no repair because there's no true apology. She kind of shifts it like, "Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry you took it that way," right? So her version of accountability sounds like, "I didn't mean to hurt you," and then she just wants you to move on. "Well, I didn't mean it," so doesn't, you know, it's just very dismissive. It communicates that your pain is just inconvenient and it's not something that she needs to take accountability for. We're just going to move on. So that's very kind of emotionally immature way of handling things. Still very harmful, still makes it difficult to have a relationship with this mom. A lot of times you need to kind of have some boundaries about what you share with her and how much access she has to your life, because this dismissiveness of your experience in life, when you go through really hard things, she can't show up for you, and that can be really painful. But then we start moving into closer to a narcissistic situation, and this is where it shifts into fragility and victimhood. Covert narcissists often cry, position themselves as the victim. So when you tell her that something that she did or said hurt you, she's going to respond with that she's the one that is hurt by you bringing this up. And she's going to blame you for attacking her. She may gaslight you. She may tell you she didn't say that. That never happened. "I can't believe you're always making me look like a bad mom." So this is how it gets really confusing, because all of a sudden she has become the victim in the situation and you are the cruel one for bringing this up, and how dare you treat me like this? I'm your mother. And it gets really confusing. Go into the Darvo spiral, right? She's denying, she's attacking, she's reversing it that now she's the victim and you're the offender, even though you were the one bringing up the hurt in the first place. And it can be really confusing. It's like a confusing tornado. Her apologies can also look the same. The I'm sorry you feel that way. So you can still see some of those dynamics, but this is just a lot more dramatic. And shame is so intolerable to her that she's got to flip the script. She's got to be the victim. She cannot admit fault or a mistake or anything like that. She cannot do it. So in this scenario, you walk away not only without any repair, but now you feel guilty for bringing it up. This is another classic thing you will get with any of this kind of spectrum of narcissism, is you're the one that ends up feeling guilty, even though you were the one that was hurt in the first place. And it can be very confusing. Then we move into even deeper into overt narcissism. And these are not like, you know, some clinical explanation. It's just to kind of give you somewhat of an idea. So you're still going to get Darvo. You're still going to get a mother who's going to deny what happened. She's going to attack you. And then she's going to start playing the victim. So reversing the victim and offender. That's Darvo. Okay. You're still going to get that. That's the same. And that can kind of go along a whole spectrum as well. But here you're, instead of just fragility, you can get rage. You can get explosive anger. You can, it just is, there's more of a malicious, angry attack on you that you're going to see on, you know, further ends of the spectrum. So you bring up something painful and she's going to start saying things about you being, you're so sensitive and I never said that. And she's going to attack your character. Her apologies are transactional and performative. So it's like she might say the words, I'm sorry, but what's going to come after is you're no angel either, you know, or I'm sorry, but you're such a hard. So again, it's like, you're the problem. The word sorry comes out so that she can say, I apologized. Like I said, I was sorry. Right. So you could even get this all over the spectrum again. It can get really muddled in here, but generally you're going to get harsher attacks in emotional immaturity or more covert narcissism. They're going to be more passive aggressive. They're going to be kind of essentially more covert. But it, as you go along the spectrum, you're going to get into more like overt attacking you, attacking what a hard child you are, what a brat you are, that kind of thing. Okay. And any apology is going to be a bargain to restore her image. It's not an attempt to heal the relationship. It's not an attempt to take accountability, responsibility, or validate you or anything like that. It really is just the word sorry comes out. It's still going to be an attack on you. It's not really an apology, but then she can claim that she did it and to restore her image. Look, I apologize. You're just not forgiving. You're the problem. That's what you're going to get. Again, true empathy is not just about saying, I'm sorry. True empathy requires repair. So even if a mother, an emotionally immature mom especially, can sometimes say the words, I'm sorry. She doesn't truly take accountability though. She kind of tries to dodge that accountability because she can't handle the shame of it. But true empathy, when we have real empathy, this person is going to listen to your story and listen to your experience and your pain. This person would own her role, and whatever role she played in causing that pain for you, they're going to own up. I am so sorry I said that to you. I should not have talked to you that way. That is a mature person that is taking responsibility. I shouldn't have said that to you, right? And then changing the behavior going forward. So it is, I'm listening. So if I said something to my daughter that was hurtful, and she said, Mom, it really hurt my feelings when you said this, and I'm being an emotionally mature person, I would say, I am so sorry that I said that to you. I should never have spoken to you that way. That was completely unacceptable. I am so sorry. Now, I've apologized, and of course, the conversation would go differently, right? But then going forward, I am very careful about how I talk to her. I am more mindful. My behavior changes because I care about her. I care about that what I did had hurt her. And so I make a change. That is what repairs relationship. It's not just, I'm sorry, but it's not that. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry. That's, this is not it, right? When empathy is inconsistent, there's kind of a little bit of awkward understanding or apology. You get emotional immaturity. But when you start getting into the narcissistic spectrum of things, they don't have empathy. It's not awkward. It just literally is not there. So you grow up doubting your own experience. And you also grow up not realizing that people should take accountability for hurting you. They should apologize. They should take accountability and they should change. And this is why, as an adult, you can then attract very unhealthy friendships and relationships with partners and other things, because you don't even know the experience of having someone that truly apologizes and truly takes accountability. So you may start questioning yourself that you are too sensitive. Maybe you question whether you should even expect apologies from people. You might start blaming yourself. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I just took this wrong. That's what starts to happen. You start blaming yourself. And this can get into really unhealthy territory. Emotionally immature mothers lack the skills for empathy because they never developed the emotional maturity. It's not that they don't want to. There's no ill intent here. They just don't have that maturity. Narcissistic mothers, on the other hand, defend against empathy because it threatens their fragile self-image. They don't have it. They just don't. They don't care. Both leave you without repair, though. So it still has a terrible impact. So I don't want you to think, oh, if my mom's just emotionally immature, then I just need to understand her and her trauma or whatever. No, it doesn't excuse the behavior. But the difference is intent. There's neglect and then there's weaponized denial. And that does make a difference, because with a narcissistic mother, you're going to have a hell of a time having a relationship with this woman. Okay, moving on to number 3, emotion regulation. So in an emotionally immature mother, this is going to be volatile. It's going to be erratic. It depends on the person, how much they're able to regulate their emotions. Some emotionally immature moms, and even into narcissism, they don't rage. They don't have explosive anger or anything like that. That it doesn't need to be that way. But it may just be that they don't regulate their emotions around you. So it can be crying or any type of emotional expression in front of their children that would not be appropriate, all the way to weaponized rage. Okay. So one of the clearest markers of emotional immaturity and or narcissism is how your mom is able to manage her emotions, or how she doesn't. Now, in emotional immaturity, a lot of times she's expecting you to manage her emotions. So when you are still a child in the home, your mom should not be talking about her marriage problems with you. She should not be talking about an argument she had with your grandma. She shouldn't be talking about, you know, her friend that hurt her feelings. She should not be dumping her emotions on you. She should not be expecting you to manage her emotions. But in an emotionally immature mom, she might not explode or yell or rage, or she may. But regardless, she is relying on you for this emotional support. Their emotions are big. They can be impulsive, and they can also be unpredictable. With an emotionally immature mom, she might slam cupboards, she might sigh heavily, she might cry to you, things like that, okay? And then 10 minutes later, after she's, like, if she is kind of angry or kind of tantrumy in her emotional immaturity, 10 minutes later, she wants to sit down for a cozy chat as if nothing happened. This is very common, where they throw a little tantrum, they have these outbursts, and then they just want to pretend like it never happened. Sometimes, depending on the emotional outburst, they can be very overwhelming. But these outbursts, they're not calculated. It's just her inability to regulate her own emotions. That's all it is. She just genuinely lacks the skills to self-regulate and to manage her own emotions. So she's expecting you to soothe her, to comfort her, or to pretend that it didn't happen because she cannot handle that she made a mistake, because she does have a very fragile sense of self-worth, right? So this means that you are living in a constant state of hypervigilance because you don't know what you're going to get in her emotional unpredictability. And depending on whether she has angry outbursts or whatever it is, you still, as the child, even if it is just crying or even if it is just expecting you to manage her emotions, it's a heavy weight for a child to carry, and they don't have the emotional maturity to be able to do so. So it does cause a lot of issues even into adulthood. But then we move towards more of a narcissistic situation. Covert narcissists don't necessarily explode in public. Their anger kind of goes underground. She might sulk. She will withdraw affection from you if she's upset with you. She may give you the silent treatment, play the victim. I guess I'm just the worst mother in the world then, that kind of stuff. It's still rage, but it's turned inward and it's disguised as self-pity. She may get angry. That can also happen. It's just not necessarily weaponized anger. It's just outbursts because she can't control herself. So if she's yelling at you, something has happened, she can't manage the anger, and so she's yelling. But it's not, there's not a whole lot of weaponizing it against you, I guess is the way I would say it. But you're still left very confused, doubting yourself, trying to make things right. And also feeling abandoned and neglected when she is punishing you through the silent treatment or guilt or whatever. And then we get into more overt situations where her inability to regulate her emotions becomes weaponized against you. She's gonna blame you for her outbursts and her rages. When challenged, she's going to erupt into a full-blown rage. She screams, she yells, she may threaten you. Her goal isn't just expressing emotion. It's not just that she can't regulate her emotions. She's going to intimidate you into compliance. She is going to weaponize those emotions against you. She's going to blame you for those emotions. In a variety of ways is she going to weaponize these emotions against you. So if you set a boundary, how dare you talk to me like that? I'm your mother. You're going to regret disrespecting me. I will, whatever. She's going to start threatening. I will do something. And it's not immaturity that is behind this. This is entitlement and control that she is after. So again, like we talk about, it's this intent. It's this entitlement. It's this grandiosity. It's this demand for respect and admiration and control. And so you can kind of see how this goes on this whole spectrum, right? Emotionally immature mom. She's volatile. She struggles to regulate herself. But it just stems from underdeveloped coping skills and underdeveloped ability to regulate herself. And then you move into narcissism and it goes from, silent treatment, all of that, to blaming you, to rages, to, trying to threaten and control you. And this comes from their grandiosity and protecting themselves from shame. I mean, all of them are, to a certain extent, protecting themselves from shame. But you grow up learning that emotions are unsafe. That's the biggest thing with all of these scenarios. You either suppress your feelings to keep the peace, or you absorb her emotions in order to survive so that you don't have to pay the consequences for even more emotional volatility because she can't regulate herself, or she's going to weaponize those emotions against you. Both leave you emotionally dysregulated, and you struggle to even regulate yourself in adulthood, wondering if you're too much or if you're too sensitive, you're not good enough. It causes a lot of issues in adulthood. And a lot of women just don't realize how much it affects them because they're so used to coping, right? Then we'll move into number 4, which is boundaries and control. So we start out on a more emotionally immature spectrum where it's very clumsy. There's not ill intent there, but it's just a very clumsy kind of situation all the way to her exploiting you. So let's look at this. Boundaries are where another difference very much between emotional immaturity and narcissism really stand out. With an emotionally immature mom, boundaries just get ignored. It's not out of malice or ill intent, but it's out of neediness and lack of self-awareness. So when you set a boundary or say, you know, I just need to take a break or something, she is going to feel very hurt by this. It's more of the pain of feeling rejected or abandoned. The fear of abandonment, rejection, that kind of thing is where this is coming from. And so she's going to cross boundaries because she just needs to feel like she's not being rejected. It's very emotional. She can't regulate herself. She doesn't know how to handle the emotions of my daughter's not where I want her to be. There's a problem. I don't know how to handle it, that kind of thing. She also overshares her personal adult problems that you are never meant to carry. This will happen in childhood and also in adulthood. I mean, for me, I have a lot of hard things that I go through. I don't go share those things with my daughter. My daughter's 26 years old. She's an adult herself, but I don't turn to her for emotional support. Sure, I talk to her. We engage all the time. We marco each other. We have a relationship, but I don't turn to her for emotional support. I go to my husband. I go to my sister. You know, you go to a friend. I don't put that on her, even though she's an adult, right? But your mother may vent to you about finances, marriage issues, you know, things like that, that just she should not be talking to you about. She pushes past when you say no because she wants comfort. She wants reassurance. She doesn't want to feel rejected. You need to be in your place for her, right? You show up, you do what she needs you to do. So for example, you tell her you don't want to talk to her about her fight with your dad. Let's just say that's a boundary for you. You're like, Mom, I don't want to get involved with your fight with dad. That's not appropriate. I don't care how old you are. Your mom should not be talking to you about her relationship with your dad. It's just not appropriate, right? So you set that boundary. Minutes later, she's crying and saying, but you're the only one who understands me. And she starts blaming you and making you feel responsible. This isn't about domination. It's not about control. It's this clumsy attempt to get her needs met. But it still leaves you parentified and burdened by her emotions. She doesn't see you. She doesn't care about the impact on you. She's just trying to get her needs met. That's emotional immaturity. But when we start moving into more of a narcissistic spectrum that we have, they're going to use your boundaries as a battleground for moral superiority or whatever. So she sees your boundary as a negotiation now. She's going to guilt you. A good daughter would call her mom every day. A good daughter would come. A daughter who respects her mom would come to the family reunion and, you know, that kind of thing. She's also going to weaponize, what will people think when my only daughter won't come to the family reunion? That kind of thing. So she's going to recruit allies. So these may be your siblings, aunts, church friends who suddenly start repeating her script. You're hurting your mom. How dare you do this? She's your mother. That kind of thing. The flying monkeys. Okay. She's going to reframe your no as like a moral failure on your part. So if you say, I'm not going to come to the family reunion, or I can't make it to this thing. What have you been reading, these self-help books that tell you to cut off your family? So, you know, so this is moral failure on your part. My mom has done this to me, right? In her religious tradition, I would not have the Holy Spirit because only people in her religion can have the Holy Spirit. So she will tell me that I don't know right from wrong because I don't have the Spirit with me anymore because I'm not a part of her religion anymore, right? It's your moral failure when you're not doing what she wants. And the goal here, it's not just about her getting her emotional needs met. This is starting to move into, I'm trying to control and manipulate and shame you into doing what I want. Do you see the difference? Where a mom's trying to get her needs met. She doesn't want to feel rejected. She doesn't want to feel abandoned. She doesn't want to look bad if her kids don't show up to the family reunion to this. It's your moral failure for not doing what I want. Do you see? There's more manipulation. There's more control. There's more shame that's going on here. And again, this is a whole spectrum. Like I always say, you're not no mom is going to fit neatly in a little box, right? They're all going to be different. You can have an emotionally immature mom that has these rages or something, right? So we're not diagnosing people here. We're kind of seeing a spectrum. Where all is she landing in all this, okay? So in a more overt situation, she views boundaries as an insult to her entitlement. So she is your mother and she is entitled to access to you. Don't you dare tell me that I don't get access to my grandkids or you're going to cut me off. I'm your mother, right? This is where we start getting a lot more. It's entitlement here. She demands access to your time, choices, your children, okay? She's going to bulldoze your no. She's going to punish you if you do not comply with what she has asked. Even if it's just, I want you at this family reunion, I want you at this family party, if you resist, she's going to launch smear campaigns against you as being ungrateful and cruel and selfish. And she's going to go talk to people. She's going to recruit those flying monkeys. How dare she do that? I don't know what has gotten into her. She is just crazy. She's just treating me terribly. How I just don't understand. Victim, painting you as this terrible person. This is where we get real toxic. Okay. So another one, let's say you decline to loan her money or you decline to go to a family reunion and she rages. If you loved me, you wouldn't do this to me. Everyone agrees with me that you're selfish, you're ungrateful, you don't know right from wrong. Okay. This is not just boundaries being ignored. This is not just a mother that is struggling to handle her emotions. This is deliberately exploiting you, shaming you, asserting dominance over you, trying to control you. Okay, so can you see that spectrum there? That's one's easier to see, I think. So your emotionally immature mom is going to break boundaries out of immaturity. She wants comfort. It's kind of a lack of awareness. She leans on you because she doesn't know how else to cope. And then you'll go all the way over to bulldozing your boundaries and really attacking you. So then we move into number 5, which is autonomy. So when you start exerting your independence, you start becoming more independent, you start making choices for yourself. And oftentimes these choices are not going to look like your mom because you are an individual and you have your own individual thoughts and feelings about things. An emotionally immature mom's going to be really uncomfortable with you choosing differently than her or believing differently than her. This could be religious. This could be political. This could be anything that she, you know, wouldn't choose for herself. So an emotionally mature mom may take your independence personally. But usually with reassurance and kind of talking with her and kind of working through it on a mature level, a lot of times you can kind of reassure her and she'll settle down. Not always. Their reactions are more about self-centeredness, fear of being left out. You know, when they have deep-seated religious beliefs, it's very difficult for them to see another perspective. They have a difficult time respecting you outside of themselves. You know what I'm saying? And so they have a hard time seeing another person and really truly seeing you as an individual and respecting you that way. And so they struggle accepting differences of opinion, life choices, that kind of thing. So she may pout. She may make guilt trip. She may say passive aggressive things to you about your choices. If you choose to spend the holiday elsewhere, you know, with your partner or whatever, with your partner's family, you're going to get kind of guilt trippy, passive aggressive kind of comments. But eventually she'll kind of move on. That's more an emotionally immature way of handling this. And then we move up the spectrum a little bit and she's going to see your growth as betrayal. So your independence is going to threaten her fragile sense of control. So she may play the victim of your choices, framing herself as like this martyr of your decisions and making her look bad and trying to pull you back in. So she's going to get more controlling, trying to manipulate your choices, trying to get you to believe the way that she believes and see things the way that she sees them. So when you move out, when you start setting boundaries, she's going to start trying to control you through guilt, through shame, through something to try to control that independence and drag you back to, no, you're going to stay with my political beliefs. You're going to stay with my religion. You're going to stay, you know, don't you dare, you know, do something different. It may even be the way that you raise your own children she doesn't agree with, and she's going to make comments about it, and she's going to be passive aggressive about it, and she's going to try to tell you how you're doing it wrong. That type of situation. And then we move a little further down the line, and this mother, this more overt mother, is going to perceive your autonomy as an outright attack of her. She's not just going to pout. She's not just going to guilt trip and passive aggressive try to get you back in line with what she wants. She is going to undermine your relationships. So this mother is going to try to destroy your relationships with people that she doesn't like. So let's say you have a boyfriend that, let's just pretend, has different religious tradition than you. Maybe you grew up religious and he didn't, or whatever, right? She's going to try to undermine that relationship, attack that relationship, because she does not want you adopting any of his belief systems or patterns or anything like that. She will try to sabotage opportunities that give you more independence or confidence. She will deliberately try to sabotage your successes, your relationships, anything like that. She will also trash your reputation to relatives. She will spread rumors about you if you choose different beliefs or lifestyles than what she approves of. It's going to be a very outright attack of you, talking bad about you, spreading rumors about you. She's not going to be passive aggressive. She's going to outright just attack what you are doing, call you names, criticize you. It's just outright abusive. This is not something you're going to be confused about. And it doesn't really matter. A narcissistic parent, covert, overt, whatever it is, wherever you are on that spectrum, they're going to deny their child's right to a separate self because they see you as an extension of themselves. They see independence as abandonment and betrayal. And a lot of times, if you get in a financial bind, they will offer you money and you take the money and you're like, wow, they're helping me out. And then they're going to use, I gave you money. You are not going to live with that person anymore. That partner that you're living with, I just gave you money for that rent because you needed it. Now you aren't living with this partner anymore. They're going to use this to control you, to manipulate you. But when we look at an emotionally immature mom, she's very self-centered, but she's less calculated. She's less likely to strategically sabotage your autonomy or to attack you for it, right? You're going to get the guilt trippy stuff like this, but it's less calculated. And recognizing these patterns is what helps you validate your need for independence without guilt. It sheds light on why setting boundaries feels so threatening to them. It helps you get clarity on how you're being treated and where your mom is at and why you're having such a difficult time with having your own independence, having your own things. Like, I personally, I am not a fan of family reunions. I'm not. I don't like them. I think they're ridiculous. I'm an introvert. I'm not about it. I'm totally fine if other people think they're great. Great, go do it. But I am just not about it. I don't have a good relationship with extended family anyway. That's a whole other story. And so I don't particularly want to spend time with them. So I don't attend them. And my mom cannot handle it. There's the guilt tripping and the shame. And she brings it all out because she can't handle that I don't like them. And she doesn't like it when I say, I'm not about family reunions. I just don't care. And how dare you? Family's so important. Family is the most important thing in the world. All the things, right? And it's just as simple as, I don't want to go to a family reunion. Like, it's just stupid. It has nothing to do with anything. But when you get into this emotional immaturity and this whole spectrum of emotional immaturity, they cannot handle even the slightest differing opinion. And it can get real sticky in having a relationship with them. And this is just to help you gain clarity on that. So it is difficult to tell the difference sometimes, but like I said, it is important to understand what you're dealing with because that is going to change the decisions that you make on the type of relationship you're going to have or not even have one, depending on what you're dealing with your mother, right? So when we're looking at this, we're looking at her capacity to self-reflect and be able to repair. Emotionally immature moms make mistakes and they clumsily try to repair or apologize. It's not great. They don't take full accountability. They struggle with empathy. It's a little awkward, but you definitely can work with that. But then when you move above just emotional immaturity, you're going to get into never acknowledging harm. They're going to try to control their own image, blame you, play the victim, gaslight you. It's just an absolute disaster. So that's a big difference. You can work with the immature situation. Narcissism, you can't work with that. It doesn't mean you can't have a relationship with them, but it's going to change how that relationship looks for sure. And then we look at empathy and their image, that obsession of their image. So an emotionally immature mom can sometimes choose connection and an ability to help you and support you and have empathy over her own pride, over her own ego. So you're going to get a little bit of this, it's not consistent. So she may show up for you when you're going through a hard time, and she may be able to provide some support and some help. Maybe not emotionally, but in other ways, it depending on her, right? But when we move into narcissism, this is not going to happen. She will almost always choose her self-image, control, her status, her own pursuits. It's basically what she wants, her life. You know, she will go shopping instead of take care of you after surgery like my mom does, right? That's literally what you're going to get when you get into narcissism. Is you can have a 6-hour surgery and a 2-month recovery, and she leaves me with my blind autistic daughter to take care of. That's what you're going to get, because she is going to prioritize herself over you every time. So you see how this goes. Can I work with someone who's going to abandon me in that kind of situation? No, I cannot work with that. You just don't, right? Then we also look at intent and the patterns. So an emotionally immature mom, she's mainly hurting you through her own clumsiness, her own trying to get her own needs met, not being able to self-reflect, struggling with empathy. It's more of a lack of skills and maturity than it is anything else. But then we look into more narcissistic patterns, and they're entitled. They are very self-centered. She will prioritize herself over you every damn time. Manipulation, the total lack of empathy. This matters because your relationship with your mom is going to depend on more of this intent and the patterns that you see. You're going to have to step back a little bit more if there's more, you know, ill intent going on, or more self-centeredness to the point where she does not even care about you at all. So the covert narcissist is kind of this middle ground. They're outwardly nice. They're very shame sensitive. They're trying to protect this ego from shame, chronically playing the victim role. They're passive aggressive. There's less overt aggression though. Underneath it lies the same entitlement though. There is still grandiosity. They still do not have empathy. So they're still really, really difficult. And in fact, I would say the covert narcissist is almost the hardest to deal with. And the reason in what I've seen in working with people is the covert narcissist is so confusing, because they're not yelling. They're not screaming. They're not like painfully criticizing you. It's not so overt. And so it gets really confusing, because she plays the victim and she cries and she's so sad, and you see her, you know that she's had a traumatic past or whatever it is, and she's playing the victim, and it can get really, really dicey because you don't see this overt yelling and screaming at you and you stupid whatever. You don't see that. And so it's really confusing, whereas an overt narcissist, people have an easier time identifying it. I see these women that I talk to, and they're like, oh, I don't even know if she's emotionally immature. Like, it's, you know, you see this, and I'm sitting here going, oh dear. You know what I mean? Like, we have a tendency to make excuses for our mothers, and it's understandable. I'm not saying that any of these women are wrong, but at the same time, they're allowing themselves to be harmed, and they're struggling in their own lives because of what is going on with their mom, and they're not seeing it. And that's part of what I do, is I'm not going to tell you how to think, how to feel. but it's helping. I am just guiding women to recognize their own situation and where they are and how to move forward in a healthy way. So emotionally immature moms, bottom line, are frustrating, they're inconsistent, they're self-focused. Sometimes they're capable of connection or helping you in their own ways. And so you definitely will feel like they are able to hold up some semblance of relationship on their end. Whereas whenever you get into any level of narcissism, they are incapable of seeing you at all. They don't really care about supporting or helping you in any way. They consistently prioritize control, their own image, entitlement at your expense. So, I'll just give you a couple of examples. Your emotionally immature mom might be able to occasionally say, you know, I'm sorry I snapped at you. But then she'll use an excuse. So it's not that you did get somewhat of an apology, right? Because she said, I'm sorry I snapped at you. But you just don't understand. I was going through this and that and the other. And then there's excuses. You'll get that a lot. They don't just fully take accountability. They've got to tell you why so that they're not actually fully admitting, I just made a mistake and I'm sorry. And end of story. But in narcissism, it's, I never said that. You're twisting my words. That didn't happen. I'm sorry you felt that way. Or I'm sorry you thought that I did that. That kind of thing. Okay. So basically, healing from the mother wound, after saying all of these things, healing from the mother wound isn't just about understanding the past, because that's only part of the story. You do need to understand what you've dealt with, but it's about breaking free from the patterns that still live in your body, in your mind, and in your current relationships. That is the things that you need to start looking at. How am I showing up in my own life? What wounds am I still carrying because of what I have had to go through with a mother who wasn't mature enough to truly be there for me? And the Mother Wound Survival Kit is the beginning to give you the tools to finally name what happened, to release the shame, to begin rewriting your story. And also, it definitely gives you like specific ways to respond to gaslighting, to respond to your mother's denial of what happened, there are very specific scripts that you can use in navigating conversations with your mom. There is ways, I have an entire book, everything is laid out for you on how to navigate how much contact you have with your mom, how to navigate the conversations with your mom to avoid them descending into arguments and all of this stuff. It gives you a lot of tools. You also will receive a recorded session to help you navigate some of the wounds that you received. So it's based on hypnotherapy and neuro-linguistic programming that you'll receive that audio that you can listen to. You can listen to it as many times as you need to kind of unravel some of those things. So this is really the starting point. It's $17. It's a great place to start. And it gives you like written down things that you can start doing today and learning and working through, journaling prompts and everything. But then if you're ready to go deeper, I do have the Daughters Rising Inner Circle waitlist open. Spots are filling fast. The spots are limited. I don't open this to just an unlimited amount of people because I really serve the women that are in this inner circle. And it offers a safe, supportive environment, community. You will get seminars that we do and group sessions that we do. You will have your own little sister circle where you can talk and bounce ideas off of each other and provide support. It is an entire community. There is also a 12-month healing program that you go through where I have recorded messages for you and workbooks and journaling. And it is just an entire year-long healing process that you go through with support from other women, from me, seminars. You really go through it is intense. But spaces are very limited and it's full, but I do have a wait list open. for a few women. So if you want to do that, go to the website, themotherwoundproject.com. Click on the button, work with me, and you can check out that inner circle and get on the wait list. As soon as that's full, I will close it down. And I don't know when the wait list will open again. It just depends on availability. So that is definitely something, if you're ready to just get after it, the Daughters Rising Inner Circle is where it's at. But you also have the opportunity, I would love to work directly with you. I do have availability right now for coaching clients and hypnotherapy clients. You can do either or a combination of both. So we can work just on coaching you through and navigating through the relationship with your mom and getting yourself able to handle conversations with her and handle that relationship and get it where you want it to be. Or we can deal with the wounds that you have, the grief and your self-confidence, whatever it is that you're dealing with, ruminating thoughts, anxiety, all of those things, we can deal with that with hypnotherapy. You can do one, the other, both, combinations, whatever you want to do. That is also on the website. You can check that out and it gives a lot more information about it. So there's many, many, many ways that you can start this. Choose your path. Choose your path for healing, for deeper transformation and support. Healing the mother wound is not about changing your mom. It's about reclaiming yourself. And the moment that you choose you, you end that cycle and begin your freedom.